Shabbat Shabbat Perichon Beis Mishnah Halach Chavish and Ishbra Matilin Amen and Mugga and Shol is good. A jar of wine that broke on Shabbat, you're allowed to save from that jar of wine enough wine that you need for the three meals of Shabbat. And even though you're not doing any malacha and saving the wine, you're simply bringing a utensil to catch the spilling wine. Even so, the rabbanim did not allow you to save more than what you need for the three meals of Shabbat, because they were afraid that if we allow you to catch all of the spilling wine in your haste to save the wine, you might forget that it's Shabbat and bring a kli through the Rosh Hashanah or fix the jar. So therefore, they only allow you to catch what you need for the three meals of Shabbos. Now, if you save all the wine in one utensil, that you have a utensil large enough to catch all the spilling wine, then you would be allowed to save all of the wine. That which the Mishnah says, you can only save what you need for three meals, that you need to save the wine in a few different utensils. You don't have a utensil large enough to catch all of the wine. Now, Rabbeinu Tam said that if the jar didn't actually break, it just cracked, and the wine is spilling out drip by drip, in such a case, you would be allowed to catch all of the wine. As in that case, you would not be in such haste to save the wine, so therefore, you will not forget that it's Shabbos. And you can tell other people, come and save for yourself. And other people can also catch from the spilling wine enough for what they need for the three meals of Shabbos, as each person can save enough for three meals. So if you have enough people, you can save all the wine by each person catching enough for what they need for the three meals of Shabbos. As long as you don't sponge up the wine. You're allowed to catch the wine in a utensil, but you can't use a sponge to scoop up the wine and then drip it from the sponge into the utensil. And so too, you can't use your hand to scoop up the wine and then drip it into your utensil. And this would be considered an umda de chol. It's not a Shabbat-sticker thing to do to use a sponge to sponge up the wine or to scoop up the wine with your hand, and the Rabbanan would not allow you to do so on Shabbat. Even if you use a sponge that has a handle, that we said in the previous Mishnah, that in such a case that the sponge has a handle, you're allowed to use the sponge to wipe something up on Shabbat, since you will not be inevitably squeezing out the liquid from the sponge. However, in this case, since it's an uvda d'chol, it's not Shabbat stick to scoop up the spilling wine with the sponge. The Rabbanan do not allow you to sponge up the wine, even though you're using a sponge with a handle. Aim so thin as a pair. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbat to extract the liquid from the fruit. This would be asur min haTorah in the category of mefaret. Mefaret is a secondary malacha to dust, to threshing. And squeezing pears to get out the fruit is similar to threshing, and therefore it's a tolda of threshing. And even if you did not squeeze the fruit, the liquid came out of the fruit by itself. That liquid is forbidden to be drunk on Shabbat. As even though you didn't squeeze the fruit, the Rabbanan were afraid that if they would allow you to drink the liquid that comes out of the fruit by itself, you might end up forgetting that the Shabbos and squeezing the fruit yourself in order to extract the liquid. So therefore, you cannot drink the liquid even though it came out of the fruit by itself. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, in la eichlen ayeti mehen mutter, ve in la mashkin ayeti mehen aser. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you had in mind to eat the fruit, you never plan on squeezing the fruit for a Jew. In such a case, the liquid that comes out of the fruit on Shabbos by itself would be permitted. And we don't have to be afraid that if we allow you to drink the juice, you'll end up squeezing the fruit on Shabbos, since you never plan on squeezing the fruit in the first place. However, if you did have in mind to squeeze the fruit, in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Chachamim that the liquid that comes out of the fruit by itself on Shabbos is forbidden, because we would be afraid that if we allow you to drink the juice, you'll end up squeezing the fruit on Shabbos, since you had in mind to squeeze the fruit for its juice. Now, the Mefarshim explained that with regard to olives and grapes, Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the liquid that comes out of them on Shabbos would be forbidden, even though you had in mind to eat the olives and grapes. The reason being is that olives and grapes are frequently used for its liquid. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that even though you had in mind to eat the olives and grapes, once the liquid comes out of it by itself, you might change your mind and decide that you will use the olives and grapes for its liquid. So therefore, the liquid that comes out of them on Shabbos would be usher, lest you end up pressing the olives or grapes on Shabbos. And with regard to fruit that are not normally squeezed for its juice, in such a case, both Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if you put aside the fruit to be eaten, you didn't have in mind to squeeze the fruit. In such a case, the liquid that comes out of them would be mutter. And even the Chachamim would agree in such a case that since this is a type of fruit that's not normally squeezed, we don't have to be afraid that if we allow him to drink the juice that comes out of them by itself on Shabbos, you'll end up squeezing the fruit. The Machlokas, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Huda are only with regard to fruit, such as strawberries and pomegranates. They're sometimes squeezed for its juice and sometimes eaten. In such a case, the Chachamim will hold that even though you had in mind to eat the fruit, the liquid that comes out of it by itself on Shabbos is usur. And since this is the type of fruit that is sometimes squeezed for its juice, we're afraid that if we allow you to drink the juice, you might end up squeezing the fruit on Shabbos, even though you originally had in mind to eat the fruit. And Rabbi Huda would argue, Rabbi Huda holds, that since strawberries and pomegranates are sometimes eaten and sometimes used for its juice, and you had in mind to eat them, not to squeeze it for its juice, in such a case, the liquid that comes out of them on Shabbos would be mutter. We don't have to be afraid you'll end up squeezing the fruit, since you had in mind to eat them. You did not have in mind to squeeze the fruit. Chalitz Vash Rizka Me'er Shabbos V'yatsu Me'atman Asurim Rabbi Elazar Mata. Honeycombs that were crushed before Shabbos, and some honey came out of the honeycombs on Shabbos, the honey that comes out of the honeycombs is forbidden to be used on Shabbos. As if we allow you to use the honey on Shabbos, you might end up pressing the honeycombs to extract more honey, which is usur, so therefore you cannot use that honey until after Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar, however, permits you to use the honey on Shabbos. And since the honeycombs were crushed before Shabbos, and the honey will come out of the honeycombs by itself, no further pressing is necessary to extract the honey. And even though pressing the honeycomb will extract the honey faster, however, the honey will come out of the honeycombs by itself since it was crushed before Shabbos. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, if we allow you to use the honey on Shabbos, we don't have to be afraid that you might end up pressing the honeycombs on Shabbos. And since the honeycombs were already crushed and no further pressing is necessary in order for the honey to come out of the honeycombs, you are allowed to use the honey on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Elazar. Any food that had been placed in hot water before Shabbos can be soaked in hot water on Shabbos. We're talking about where the food had been placed in hot water that's in a kli risha, meaning to say that the utensil had been on the fire, so the water in the utensil is very hot. So once the food is placed in such hot water, the food is regarded as having been already cooked. And we have a klal ein bishul achar bishul, meaning to say once something is cooked, if you again cook it on Shabbos, it would not be regarded as mevashel. It's not considered that you cook the food since it's already cooked before Shabbos. So therefore, you're allowed to soak that food on Shabbos in hot water that's in a kli rishon. And even though hot water in a kli rishon, even if the utensil had already been taken off the fire, that water is so hot that anything put into it will be cooked. So therefore, you're not allowed to place anything into a kli rishon on Shabbos. However, this food that's already been cooked before Shabbos can be placed even into hot water that's in a kli rishon. But any food that had not been placed in hot water before Shabbos, the food had not been cooked in a kli rishon. In such a case, you're only allowed to rinse off the food with hot water on Shabbos. You're allowed to rinse the food with hot water from a kli sheni on Shabbos. And you can't place the food in hot water from a kli rishon, or even in hot water from a kli sheni. Now, a kli sheni means that the utensil that was on the fire, you poured the water from that utensil into a different utensil. So now that the water has been transferred into a second utensil, the water is not as hot. But even that water is capable of cooking certain food items. So therefore, you're not allowed to place food on Shabbos, even into hot water that's in a kli sheni. However, you would be allowed to rinse the food with the hot water from a kli sheni. And since you're not putting the food into a kli sheni, you're only rinsing it from water that was in a kli sheni, that would not be regarded as mevashel, and you would be allowed to do so on Shabbos. The exception would be an old salted fish that had been salted at least a year previous, or small salted fish, or Spanish mackerel. These types of foods, you can't even rinse them from water that's in a kli sheni, because rinsing them with the hot water from a kli sheni would complete the malacha, meaning to say that these types of foods are cooked very easily. You don't need such hot water to cook these foods.
As all salty fish and small salted fish and Spanish mackerel are easily cooked, the Spanish mackerel has a very thin skin, so therefore it does not take such hot water to cook them. And fish that have been salted a long time ago, or small salted fish, also do not need very hot water to cook them. So therefore, when you rinse them with hot water, even from a cliché, it would become edible, and that would be regarded as cooking them. So therefore, it would be also on Shabbos. However, other types of food that are not so easily cooked, you are allowed to rinse them with hot water from a cliché. It would not be regarded as cooking.